When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Big Apple Hockey, and Merry Christmas to all coming up this week. Sorry, I just missed Hanukkah, as that just ended recently. And, oh, now I'm back in my spot again. Anthony, like, demoted me right before the show. I thought I was staying there forever. Yeah. I, of course, am your festive host with the nice and the naughty hat on, Mark Williams, and the host of the final buzzer that you heard him break down the New York Rangers win last night, Mr. John Filkowski.
Mark makes a really bad Santa. Let's not have him scare any kids.
Yeah, I'm not really good Santa. And, of course, the man who brings all the wisdom to the table, the fourth period, Mr. Anthony Rocco.
Yeah, Santa Claus is 5 days from coming, Mark, so people don't want to see you in their houses. So just don't resist the urge, okay?
Well, I mean, people want to see me in their house. They just don't want me waking up in there, Anthony. That's the real problem. Yeah. But everybody, so today we're going to be breaking down a lot of things. Of course, the Rangers and the Islanders, that's going to be the A block. We're going to tell you the naughty and nice players in the NHL this year, and as well as our NHL bar talk. So let's start off with the A block, guys, with the two local teams who both won last night, the New York Rangers over the Toronto Maple Leafs and the New York Islanders over the Edmonton Oilers. As always, the A block is brought to you by SeatGeek. Use $20 off your first order when you use the promo code Big Apple Hockey. And the Big Apple Hockey trucker hats are available, styled by Mr. John Filkowski right there. And where I am looking at ordering jerseys, if you're interested, let me know. And of course, always check out more coverage on the Big Apple Hockey website. So I'm just going to read off all the stats, and we're going to do each team. Filk, you do the Rangers, and Anthony, you do the Islanders, and we'll finish up with thoughts on that, because we'll be quick on the A block. Rangers 3-0 last week. They're still first in the Metro, first in the Eastern Conference, 45 points. Igor Shesterkin, after all the talk about the last two games, his last two games, or the last nine before that, the last two, .945 save percentage, 1.48 goals against after a 4-5 stretch. Yikes. The New York Islanders, they were 2-1-1 last week, 15-8-8, 38 points, third in the Metropolitan Division. And they did lose another third period lead. That was to the Boston Bruins. There's controversy. Anthony will get more into that in a moment. Filk, what are your takeaways this week?
Well, for the Rangers, two big rebound games in a row. They did not play well in front of Igor Shesterkin before this, but I think these were the two best efforts we've seen in front of Igor Shesterkin this year, probably since opening night. I thought Igor had probably his best two games of the season in a row in these last two games, especially last game. I think last game was his absolute best performance. The Rangers needed Igor Shesterkin to be really good in that second period because they decided to play trading chances with Toronto. And you don't want to do that against a team that scored seven goals without Austin Matthews against Pittsburgh. And I know Pittsburgh is not the shining definition of what a defensive team is, but that just goes to show you how good Toronto is, even without the best goal scorer in the world, hands down. So Toronto's got a dynamic offense. The Rangers limited them to two goals, both from the same guy that we just talked about, the best goal scorer in the world, Austin Matthews. Just two really bad plays. First one started by Artemi Panarin, where he made a terrible pass in the offensive zone, resulted in a turnover. Then Adam Fox got cute in the neutral zone, tried a blind behind-the-back chip play, went right out to the middle of the ice. Toronto advanced the play up, and then Austin Matthews got away from Ryan Lindgren for a split second and scored. And then in the second one, there was practically a box around Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews skated into the middle of the area, right in the bumper spot, just above the faceoff dot in the right hash, and just ripped one past Igor Shesterkin. But overall, I thought the Rangers played a stellar defensive game in the first and the third periods, right after Austin Matthews scored the goal early on in the third period. I'm going to highlight this comment right now. I'm sorry. Because this is absolutely the truth. I think that would be sick if we could pull that off. Great idea, John Rattigan. Love it. Thank you for that one. John Rattigan's usually pretty bang on in his comments, and no exception there, my man. But the shift right after that second goal, VC's line comes out, and they pin the Matthews line in their zone. And shortly after that, they get the lead back. And from that point on, they decided that they were locking the game down. It kind of reminded me of one of the defensive efforts that they had early on in the year, where they were playing great first periods. The second periods were kind of crappy. And then the third periods, they were locking everything down after getting the lead. So that was a big, big effort from both the Rangers and I would say both defensively and from Igor Shesterkin as well. I liked what I saw over this last week. You win three games in a row, you get right back up. You get off the losing schneid. You stop the bad habits. They played a lot better. This looks like the Rangers team that took that, I guess, that big, big, quick rise to the top earlier on in the year. So the Anaheim game was definitely another one. This was a big game where they kind of had a little bit of a leaky bit of a play in the middle bit of the game, and then they came back strong, locked it down in the third, and they put the game away. So Rangers look good. I guess I'll leave the Islanders to Anthony and let him take it from there.
Yeah, Anthony, a strong game against the Bruins. Not the result you wanted, but 5 points this week. What do you think?
Yeah, the 2-1-1 since our last show last Wednesday. Wins over Anaheim and Edmonton. Overtime loss in Boston, like you just referenced. And a regulation loss in Montreal. The Bruins game, the one of the best teams in the East, they really honestly took it to the Bruins for a portion of that game. Unfortunately, they let a lead slip away, and it was a goal that, Sorokin stops 9 out of 10 times. It was from behind the goal line, banked it off his back and in the net. Lane Lambert was not happy about that because he said Julian Gauthier was tripped right before that play occurred, so it should have never happened, which he had a case if you look at the replay. But overall, that game was entertaining. Both teams kind of known for being, over the last couple of years, the Bruins still, but more like defensive teams. That was an up-and-down game. Saw a lot of action. But, for the Islanders, you take the point, you run. The game against the Canadiens, they didn't show up until the third period. I mean, you saw it. They were down 4-0. They made it a 4-3 game. It was too little too late. The Canadiens were on their heels that whole third period. They just couldn't find the equalizer. And coming off a back-to-back where you played a really good team, I kind of sensed a little bit of a letdown there. And it showed early on in the game. Unfortunately, they couldn't salvage a point. But the two wins against Anaheim and Edmonton, what you're seeing is a trend lately, but the Islanders' power play has been scoring goals in pretty much every game they play. They're up to sixth in the league now. And that's really been a driving force between their recent success. I'm not sure what John McClain did to kind of, light a fire under these guys, but everything's clicking right now. Overall, though, again, the moral story is they keep getting points, and right now the Metropolitan Division is so compact that you need to keep winning because, let's say you lose a game or two and another team right behind you wins, you could find yourself dropping from second all the way to, fifth. So it's going to be real. It's going to be real tight. But the Islanders are scoring goals lately. The beginning of the year was a story of, how are they going to score goals, and they're going to struggle, but they're scoring goals. They've actually been, a little entertaining team to watch. I know over the last couple of years, thanks to Biz kind of coined them as boring, but they've been playing up-tempo hockey and showing what their, what their top guys are doing. I mean, Bo Horvat, Matt Barzell, they're all playing at over 80-point pace right now. Brock Nelson, Noah Dobson, these guys are just keep putting points on the board night after night. I always say your best players have to be your best players to to really have success, and their best players are being their best player. And what I find encouraging too, and you can relate this to the Rangers as well, Igor Shesterkin, you know, Ilya Sorokin has, I'm going to say, has only just been like good, you know, 914 save percentage, whatever he's at. Just imagine if he gets going to playing to the capability that he's capable of, and these guys are still producing points, the Islanders are going to be a tough out. So, and Simon, this comment right there, Simon Holmstrom, yes, he's come along, and this is an Islander team that has needed a guy like him to step up and provide secondary scoring. And he's got 10 goals. It took a little bit longer to kind of, you know, solidify himself as an NHL player, but he certainly has done that this year as a third liner. And he's helping the Islanders with that secondary scoring that I just referenced. So keep it going tonight. They play a Capitals team that are exceeding expectations. You know, they're 4 points behind them, have a couple of games in hand. So certainly a 4-point game. It's a team you want to beat, even though you're away. And like I said, just keep collecting and banking those points because they're going to become crucial come March and April.
It's still amazing to me that the Capitals' offense is their problem. For all those years, the Capitals' offense has never been their problem. Yeah, they can't score goals right now. And it's been a tremendous issue for them. You know, I guess the best way to say it is the way you've been saying it, Anthony. All the points count the same. Keep collecting the points. I still don't like the style of those points. I don't like seeing third period leads get away, even in controversy, which I'm still kind of confused with a lot of how that game was called. But we're gonna get into that later on.
Well, I like the game. You know, the Oilers game last night. They really pushed hard in that third period, but the Islanders didn't break. They didn't allow them to score any goals, and they held on to a 3-1 lead. They're still the only team in the NHL that doesn't have an empty net goal all year, which is peculiar. But I thought in the third period they did a good job of not breaking there. So hopefully they can build on that going forward.
I remember the 2014 Rangers. I think they went almost a full season without an empty net goal.
I was gonna ask this question, and then Rich just put it in the chat, and is Alexander Ovechkin cooked? The only thing I could think of regarding that is either one of two things. Either he is cooked and he just does not have chemistry with anyone other than Backstrom, or he's completely out of shape and is going to need an offseason to bounce back.
I'm going to look at it a different way. I'll go with C. He doesn't have the chemistry, I guess, and he's going to have to try to find chemistry with somebody else. It might not be in Washington, guys. He might break that record elsewhere. Emmett Smith finished his career as an Arizona Cardinal. The list goes on and on about players like that.
A new commenter brings
up. Hey, Devil Joint, how's it going?
Welcome. Yeah, definitely welcome to the show. And then I would agree with that. I think we do need some sort of Devils representative here to make it complete.
We are working on trying to get more representation for the Devils and such like that. But, when it comes to the Islanders, just keep getting your points right now. They're right there with the Flyers. Who'd have thought we'd be saying that at Christmas, guys? The Islanders and the Flyers competing for second and third.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. But I definitely like what John Tortorella is doing with those Flyers. They do not have a great roster on paper, and he is getting the absolute most he can out of it. The only situation or the only thing that I worry about with them is this something that can last? Because is Travis Konecny going to stay there? Sean Couturier is having a great year. Does he slow down a little bit? Owen Tippett's been really good. Does the goaltending hold up? Does the defense hold up? So, yeah. And this is also a real good question. Who are the Rangers first in the East at Christmas time? I didn't tell you that right now.
I didn't for a different reason. Anthony, your thoughts on that? You probably had Carolina right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I probably had the heart.
I think we all did.
Not happening.
All right. It froze for a second. So you were saying, Anthony?
What would you say?
You froze for a second.
Yeah, Carolina's first at Christmas, right?
Anthony,
we lost you again. He's moving.
Anthony.
I could hear you now. It keeps cutting in and out. I don't know what's going on. I could hear you.
All right. Okay. But yeah, you probably figured Carolina would have first place at Christmas time, right?
Yes. I did.
All right.
I can't tell if you guys hopefully can hear me or not. So yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you now, but you were frozen before.
Well,
am I still frozen?
This was good.
Seems like it's
no, you're not frozen. You're looking fine on our end. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
It's delayed.
Just a little delay. All right. Well, we're gonna keep that in mind as we move on, guys. Because let's get to our and we just lost Anthony.
No, I think he went out on purpose.
Okay. So we'll keep talking for a second, riffing on this. Sisterkin in the last two games. Now, it's not saying he's all the way back from where he was, but on the other hand, Bilk, you know what? It's on the right track, at least, right?
Yeah, absolutely. These are his two best performances of the season. If you want to go over his last five on Hockey Reference, before the previous three before this, the Ottawa loss, 6-2. He allows five goals in that game, 857 save percentage, 30 saves on 35 shots. Washington, the loss, 4-0, 25 saves on 29 shots, 862 save percentage. Then Toronto, 7-3 loss, six goals allowed, 23 saves on 29 shots, 793 save percentage. That may have been his low point of the year, unless you're looking at like the Dallas game, I would say. But Igor Shesterkin's last two games look more like the Igor Shesterkin of 2 years ago. And that's really all you can hope for at this point. You want more. I don't know. I was not looking at the screen. I don't know what the hell
you're doing. The comment was Anthony hasn't been pushing enough to lose
propaganda. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lou definitely tried to cut out your Wi-Fi there, bud.
You know, I didn't say anything bad, so.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We've actually said a lot of complimentary things about the Islanders the last month, except for the fact that they can't hold their period leads. It just drives me crazy. It's driving me crazy. It's not even my team. But, you know, all this coverage for it. And then, guys, I do have to ask you this question. We wear a Santa hat. Is it ears out or ears in? Because
ears in.
It's ears in? Okay, yeah. Because I look like a goblin, but then again, I look like I have no ears right now. So I'm like really confused.
Do you wear a beanie with your ears out?
Yes, that's right. I don't do the beanie with my ears. I never thought of it like that, Phil.
Mark Williams, stop laughing. Well
done. All right. Guys, we're going to do our naughty and nice list for the NHL as well as getting into the round league with the NHL Bar Talk. But first, let's get a message from DraftKings. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
Calm down. Get a hold of yourself.
Doctor, you're wanted on the phone.
Chill.
Simmer down now.
I'm freaking out.
Well, as Core decided to let us know, that ears in makes it look like I got out of the shower or I have a head wound. So that is, but you know what? Always ears in the beanie. Well, guys, yeah. Welcome to our impulsive reactions. And in this one, it's a Christmas themed one. So I'm going to hit the Christmas music on that in a second. We're going to tell you who's been naughty and nice around the NHL. This is just some random Christmas music because we can't, we don't want to get sued, guys. I don't have the money for it. So,
wait, you can
royalty free, guys. Phil, I'm going to start this one with you. Who, oh, sorry, not naughty or nice? Okay, Andre Miller, 5 goals, 7 assists, 12 points, +6.
I'm going to say naughty. Needs to be a little better in his own zone. He looked really good last night after taking some time off, so maybe whatever personal issue he was dealing with was affecting his play beforehand. Let's just hope that last night was the start of good things to come for Keandre Miller. He ends up on the nice list.
Anthony, which list? The naughty or the nice list?
I agree with Phil, naughty. I think he needs to be a little better. Especially with some of his choices and decision making, he has the capability of playing better. We've seen it before, but this year it seems like he's a little bit of a step behind.
And I hope you guys enjoy the dancing Grinch because we're gonna go with him 3 times in a row in a hat trick. Because yeah, he's just barely on there. I would actually put him more of an average one, but just like the trick or treat, you got to make a choice on that. So yeah, he's on the medium list. But
this comment, because you totally missed, I was trying to ask you a question about the music and you just kept going on. I'm sorry.
I wasn't hearing that one. Hold on, let me get those ears out.
My question was, you could get sued if you played any sort of Christmas music right now?
You could get sued if it's a copyright thing or they can have it like stricken.
What does that mean? If you busted up Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree right now. You're telling me you can get in hot water?
I believe we can. I think that's copyrighted.
Yeah.
You can play about 10 to 15
seconds. I don't know. A generic version of an actual Christmas song wouldn't be that bad, I don't think.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, we'll look around for that. I mean, I only have the one on here. But Anthony, we're going to go right back to you now because JG Pageau, 2 goals, 11 assists, 13 points. He's a -5 this season. Is he naughty or is he nice?
I'm gonna go naughty. But what complicates this a little bit is, you know, he's a third line center. Typically, you probably want 40 points out of your third line center, right? He's pacing for 34, so it's not terrible. But the thing is, he makes $5 million. So you want a guy that makes $5 million to score more than 2 goals. But again, you know, he's used in a defensive situation, third line. So I'll go naughty, but I think there are certain things that make you go like, you know, it's not as bad as it seems at the outset of it. But I'll stick with my decision.
Yeah, so this will answer your question a bit, Anthony. You can get demonetized for common songs or, yeah, so we don't want to deal with that. I assume you're going to come right over to me, so I'll just go right along. I don't think... I can say anything more than what Anthony said. Like, I think he hit everything perfectly. Yeah, so this kind of goes back into it, but we'll get away from that now. But yeah, back to Pageau. 2 goals is not enough. I think he's been decent defensively. I wouldn't say he's been a silky caliber player. I am not going to say that he's been bad defensively either, but I do think that he can be better overall on both sides of the puck. The offense is clearly not there right now, but you have a guy like him around for playoffs, and that's really what you want him there for. So I'm not going to be throwing coal down his Christmas tree down his chimney from Santa Claus or anything like that, or putting anything in his stockings, because I don't think he's been that bad, but you want more and you can get more out of it.
Yeah, I'm going to go naughty too, guys, because you could get a lot more out of JG Pageau. I despise JG Pageau only from the fan perspective. If he was wearing the jersey of my team, I would love this guy. And Anthony, he's been a very big guy for the Islanders in their runs. Exactly that.
Yeah.
And after all, every Ranger fan remembers him back in Ottawa, and every Islander fan can remember him. He did so well for them ever since they acquired him. So even though we're going to hit him on the naughty, I hope I'm going to be able to use a nice eventually. I'm kind of looking at some of our other candidates because I'm going to start the third one right now, guys. Timo Meier, 5 goals, 6 assists, 11 points, a minus 17. Oh, I wish I had. I didn't upload the Santa Claus sound from John Goodman on Futurama. Oh, that's very naughty. But yes, he is very naughty. He could wear the Grinch outfit, Timo Meyer, because he got paid for last season. He's not coming close to those numbers this season. Mr. Larocco.
This Meyer's trash. Yeah, no, this is naughty. This is a guy that's expected to be like, you know, an 80-point player, you know, so he's certainly not getting it done. He needs to be a lot better. I mean, if this was a bar talk, this would be a layup. And it's actually, I'm assuming it's about to be a layup naughty once Phil goes. But yeah, this is an easy one. He absolutely
needs
to be better.
Layup. Got to point out Hav Mercer and the fact that that's a Full House reference to Uncle Jesse, John Stamos, who's still an absolute stud at his age and has probably some of the best hair we've ever seen. So love that screen name, love that reference. Yeah, this is definitely naughty. I think it was Devil's Joint that said Meyer's trash. Meyer has been pretty damn horrible. He looks like a bad fit in New Jersey right now. I wanna give him more time just because we've seen what he can do and what like type of player, the level of player that he is in San Jose. But it just seems like no matter who they put him with, he's not working right now. And I don't know if it's an effort thing. I don't know if it's an issue with him and Lindy Ruff in the locker room. I don't know what the issue is. Is he hurt? I don't know. But I would say that Timo Meyer is definitely on the naughty list.
All right.
Goal for and, Timo Meyer.
Going right back to you, Phil. Let's do this one. Dylan Cousins of the Buffalo Sabres, 6 goals, 12 assists, 18 points, and he's only a minus 3. Naughty or nice?
Naughty. I mean, after the season he had last year, definitely naughty. They expected Dylan Cousins to be a cornerstone player. And with the way that he played last year, 31 goals, 68 points in 81 games, Dylan Cousins looked like he finally broke out and took that, and turned the corner to becoming what he was drafted to be in that 2019 draft. So he needs to be a hell of a lot better. But I will say this, to be fair, Dylan Cousins is also suffering because Tage Thompson is not having the season that he should be having this year and has missed some time. So, yeah, and the whole Sabres team, you could say, belongs on the naughty list because they have all disappointed. One of my guys who I expected to be a Calder final, Devin Levi, has not even been that good this year. So some players need to really start stepping it up in Buffalo. All for Dylan Cousins.
It's a lot to ask for from a rookie goaltender to be that good. Anthony?
Yeah,
so far there's been a lot of layups on this one. Anthony and I were debating on these yesterday. So let's get them right on the naughty list, Anthony. You want to continue on with that order?
Yeah, it's naughty. He needs to be better. He needs to start producing more along the lines of being at least a 60, 70-point player. He's not doing that right now. He certainly has the ability to do so. He just needs to get his game up to another level. And listen, Buffalo is a team that everyone expected to finally make the step this year because how close they were last year. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen again. So, he just needs to be better. Just like Timo Meyer. There's no excuse. He needs to be better. Definitely naughty.
Yeah, and got to agree with you guys on this one. All naughty. They're all naughty. They're very, very naughty. All right, let's go over to the Pacific Division, guys. Let's look at a guy that was a pretty good goal scorer the last 2 years, Andrew Mangiapane. 6 goals, 10 assists, 16 points, only a plus 1. Anthony Mangiapane, naughty or nice?
This is a trend here, Mark. I'm gonna go naughty too. Even if you want to say his 34 goal season or whatever it was a year or two ago was a little bit of a fluke. He needs to be better. I mean, Calgary is a team that has, 31 points. They're nine points behind LA for third in the division. A little bit I mean, maybe they could make a wild card spot, but right now I don't see it. And with the struggles that Jonathan Huberdeau was having, they could really use a guy to step up and help with some production. But, I mean, I think this guy could give more, so I'm going to go naughty.
I mean, and to answer one of the comments before I go over to Philk, I guess I'll just do naughty real quick, Philk, because Justin Huberdeau, I just called him Justin Huberdeau.
Is producing. You might as well call him Justin Huberdeau. He's playing like Justin Huberdeau.
He ain't Jonathan Huberdeau. We know that.
Yeah, but you know what, though? This is where Mark draws a line at layups. I'm going to put Andrew Mangiapane in there, but I'm not going to put Jonathan or Justin Huberdeau, as we affectionately. Don't worry. That's too much of a layup right there.
That's too much of a layup. All right, so another naughty right here.
Screwed up.
By the way, have Mercer, thanks very much. And we're getting a lot of good responses from you guys. Here's one that I think is a little controversial for me to throw him on the list. Bilk, Miro Heiskanen, naughty or nice?
I would say nice. I mean, he's not up on pace for the points that he put up last year, but he's still playing very good. I know the plus minus is not attractive, but I mean, he still eats a lot of minutes, and I still think he's pretty good. And I mean, by the end of the year, he could still finish with 70 plus points. He's got a shot at it still if he just tunes it up. He's not like terribly far off from a point per game player. Dallas has played what, 30 games, I think, and he's got 21 points in them. So I don't understand why he, you know, I don't know. I guess I got to say nice, but I don't know why he's on here.
Well, because you got to have a nice at some point.
Anthony, that's right, because Mark had to put five naughties in a row.
Well, two of us did. Anthony, naughty or nice?
And two.
He's nice, right, Anthony?
He's nice. The points aren't there as what he was pacing at last year, but I mean, he's still a guy that plays heavy minutes, can skate with really any of the top forwards in the league. So I think for me, it's nice.
And I'm going nice. I actually didn't think we're going to have this many naughties when I started this up. So I just need to keep that dancing Santa going for a little bit. But I could definitely tell you this. It doesn't look like he's really going to win that Norris Trophy that we all kind of expected he was going to win this year. I think some of us said Heiskanen, some of us said Rasmus Dahlin. I think he was mine. I mean, all my awards, they're going up in flames right now.
I had Rasmus Dahlin as a Norris contender, Norris finalist.
Yeah. So, but guys, that's going to be it on the Christmas music and the naughty and nice, because we're under a time pressure. We got to get to bar talk. And what other players do you guys think are naughty or nice? Throw them down in the comments below. See if we can answer some of those in a little bit. But first, we got to do, as Cora will tell you, some more layup talk.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever had to answer.
Let me say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one. Because welcome back, everybody, to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we're gauging our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. Are you so confident that you're buying everybody around? So I'll just have a beer, or I'll take a shot. Play along down in the comments below. And, of course, we're sponsored by Drizzly for this. Why go to the liquor store when you can make it a Drizzly night? Have them bring everything to you. Liquor, beer, wine. There's a lot. There's not going to be as many layups, guys. Although I do say, again, layups are by design. And, Philk, I wrote an article this week on, nice, Jesper Bratt. Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
Jesper Bratt, okay. I'll put him as nice.
Yeah.
I wrote an article this week, Philk. The all-time leading Rangers goal scorer, Rod Gilbert, Jean Rattel, and then Chris Kreider at 281. Chris Kreider has a shot at the Rangers all-time leading goal record.
Yeah, this is going to be a round for me. I would say layup, but I can't really say it's truly a layup. But he needs 19 more goals to get to 300 on the year, which I think he'll do this year. If he does that, he's 106 from the lead. And he's got, I would say, 3, maybe 4 good years left in him. So I think he's pretty much almost a lock to take the all-time lead from Rod Gilbert at this point.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Because I had to do the math in order to crunch that one out. Because I'm not sure if it's a lock. Anthony, what do you think? Chris Kreider will be the Rangers' all-time leading goal scorer. Is Anthony?
I'll go beer. I mean, I certainly think he could do it. I mean, the way you have it worded, if I say round, I mean, I'm pretty much guaranteeing it for it to happen. And I don't know if I could do that, but I mean, this is a guy that just simply scores goals. I mean, he has a knack for the net. As long as he's healthy, I would say at a floor, he's a minimum. He's good for 30. So, you know, if he could, you know, next 3-4 years, if he keep producing the way he's doing, he certainly might do it. So I'll go beer, but I'm going to be optimistic about it.
And going with what Mr. Statastic said right there, I'm going to go beer. He's averaging at about a 45 goal pace right now this season. If he keeps up that average, he should pass Rattel by All-Star break next year. And then you're looking at potentially passing Gilbert within 2 years. Now, his limited no trade kicks in right now. Do the Rangers decide to re-up for a 34-year-old power forward at that time? I think he might be 35 when the contract ends. It's a great question. And look, if he's playing really well and he's still doing what he's doing, health might be on his side, and he might be able to really press that. Speaking about records, Anthony, Simon Holmstrom, 10 goals this season, and 5 of them are shorthanded. He's on pace for 13, which would tie Mario Lemieux for the single-season record. Simon Holmstrom will score 14 shorthanded goals this season.
I mean, shorthanded Simon. Barzell dubbed him the nickname the shorthanded king. He's certainly shown a propensity to score shorthanded. Thing is, I mean, this is tough. You know, they played, what, 31 games? So he's got essentially 10 more games to get to the halfway point of the season. If he could score another 2 goals in the next 10 games, he would literally need to produce another 7 shorthanded goals in the second half of the year to do it. That's hard to do. I mean, just scoring 7 shorthanded goals over the course of a whole season is tough. Have him do it again and end it with 14. I mean, that's really hard. I mean, it's not impossible, but I'll go beer. I mean, I don't think he's going to do it.
Phil, what do you think?
A shot. Yeah, 14 shorthanded goals is crazy. And I don't know of any other players who have scored 10 or so anytime recently.
Brian Ralston was one of the nearest ones at 2002. Yeah,
Brian Ralston may have had a big year, but like scoring over 10. I mean, like we're talking like 11, 12, like that range. I don't know if that's been – no. Ralston's highest was 9 in 2002 for Boston.
Okay.
I just don't see it. I don't see anyone scoring 10 shorthanded goals again. It's maybe Holmstrom hits 10, but 14? No way. I'm sorry.
I do think it's possible to do it. I think Holmstrom is doing a great job with it. I am going to go shot for the unlikeliness, but he's starting to become somebody that you almost have to game plan against. The Islanders had a guy that liked to score shorthanded a lot a while ago, and he even played for the Rangers and the Devils at one point, Michael Grabner. And I believe he was our first guest. He was our third guest we had on the show.
Also shooting at 31.3%. That's not sustainable.
Well, it depends whether or not he's going to get those shorthanded opportunities. And, you know, who knows? He might go up against Pittsburgh Penguins, whose power play has been absolutely abysmal. And speaking of those Penguins, Saturday night, Kyle Dubas was in the house in Toronto during Pittsburgh's 7-0 loss and got booed thoroughly by Maple Leafs fans. He was their GM from 2018 to 2023. Guys, it's a little bit more of an opinion-related thing, but Kyle Dubas is overrated. Phil, start this one off.
I guess I'm going to go beer. I feel like a lot of it has to do with like his insertion of analytics into everything. Excuse me. But he gets an unfair rap just because the guys that he put together couldn't get the job done. I don't want to go crazy with him on Pittsburgh yet because it's early still and they could turn it around. It doesn't look good there. I will tell you that. I don't see many people though calling him like one of the better GMs in the league. So, I don't know how overrated it is or where you're seeing this. So I'm not really sold on him myself. But I don't see who's heralding him as this great GM either.
That's a good point, too. Anthony?
Sometimes Mark just makes up these scenarios. So that's why.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to go beer. Dubas gets a lot of slack because, like Phil said, the guys in Toronto didn't get it done. And, you know, he inherited this Pittsburgh team. Granted, he made the Erik Karlsson trade, but I don't think he's a bad GM. But I think it's too early to say about, because you don't know what he's going to do at Pittsburgh going forward. You know, this year is not working out, but again, it's not really his team in per se. A lot of the roster is still there, is from the prior regimes. If the Penguins miss the playoffs, I think they're going to start to turn in a different direction, and the moves that he's going to do at that point, I think, is really going to tell about, you know, what his legacy could be, because, you know, now he'd be starting off from scratch with another franchise, and how quickly he can get them back to relevance will go a long way in really speaking about his ability as a general manager. So for now, I'll say beer here, but I do want to point out, Frank, I think it was Frank Ciravelli about a week ago on the Daily Faceoff, he had a video where he said the Penguins didn't have to or shouldn't have traded for Erik Karlsson. That was a move they didn't have to make. That I think everyone agreed didn't really make sense. When you see the team's trajectory, they're not on the way up. You know, if anything, they're kind of stagnant or even a little going down. So adding a guy like him to already one of the oldest rosters in the league was a little bit of a head scratcher to me. But again, you know, I think demand from ownership is to try to win now while Crosby, Letang, Malkin are all still there, one last hurrah. So I can't blame him too much.
You guys kind of took the words out of my mouth. I was hoping I was going to be the moderate on this. Look, teams were falling over themselves to get Kyle Dubas last summer. Like, Pittsburgh and Toronto were going after him. Like Toronto had him, obviously. But they were ready. Like, he was a hot commodity. But I was going to give them a break and say beer on this because, yeah, Anthony said it best. The mandate from ownership, they're telling them, look, you got to win with this team. I just think Erik Karlsson was the wrong move. I first guessed it. I second guessed it. And I'll say yet again, they're not a playoff team. There's too many guys that need the puck in order for their games to succeed. And Chris Letang's numbers are dreadful, Anthony.
Speaking of not being a playoff team, I think it was Chris Johnson, the Athletic, had like an early the top trade board targets for the deadline. And Jake Gensel's on there because there hasn't been any progress in contract extension talks, being that the Penguins are on the bubble. That's a guy that, you know, eventually could be moved. And boy would he have a lot of teams lining up for him. He's having hell of a year. He is. He's producing. And you know, should he become available, there's going to be a lot of teams that are lining up for his services.
Sidney Crosby is still playing at a high level. Jake Guentzel is outproducing Sidney Crosby. That's the way to say that one. Guys, let's go to the goal leaders for a minute. And Austin Matthews, 25 goals. Brock Besser, 23. Nikita Kucherov, 22. And David Pastrnak has got 19. First, we'll start with this one, Philk. Austin Matthews will be the first 70-goal scorer since Teemu Selänne and Alexander Mogilny in 1993.
Oh. I'm going to go with beer. He's actually not on pace for 73. It's 72 because he missed a game. So I do want to clarify that. I got to go beer here because of the fact that if there's anyone that can do it, it's him. This is 2021. He scored at a ridiculous pace. 2022, 60-goal MVP season. This is a guy that has just probably the best shot, one of the best shots we've ever seen, and he's the best shooter in the game, best goal scorer in the game right now, hands down. It's nobody better than him. So if there's anyone that can, it's AM34. But it is awfully tough, and we haven't seen one in 30 years for good reason. So let's see if it happens, but he is the guy that can. I can't say it definitively, though.
Anthony?
I mean, this is a guy that's going to have 30 goals by the new year. I mean, most likely. He's got 25. I'm pretty confident. I think he's going to score at least 65. But, I mean, 70 just hasn't been done in so long for me to say round. That, you know, it's a little ballsy. So I'll go beer. But like Phil said, if anybody could do it, it's him. I mean, his shot, his release is just elite. And the guy is just, you know, he's dangerous from wherever he has the puck on the ice because his shot is that good. He could beat you from pretty much anywhere. So if it was like 65, I would say round because that's how good I think he is. But I'll go beer here.
Yeah. You know what, guys? I'm going to go daring. It hasn't been done in a while. If anybody could do it, it's Austin Matthews. I'm going to go round. He's going to do it. And I think he's going to get hotter again. Like, I mean, he started the season with two hat tricks. I thought 60 was in the bag. He kind of went quiet for a little bit. Then went big. He's the only person to do 50 and 50 if you count him in the midseason point. He did 50 goals within 50 games. This guy, you look at his offensive numbers, I don't think we're looking at his offensive numbers enough. They rival Ovechkin. That's how good of a goal scorer that he is. And look, there hasn't been anybody, I think five or six guys have done 60 since 91, 92. But
Since 91-92 or 92-93?
Sorry, 92-93, I'm sorry.
Since Bure, Ovechkin, Stamkos, Lemieux, Jagr in 96, and then
Pastrnak,
Matthews. McDavid, and Matthews.
Okay. Oh, by the way, we can also gesture like this on Apple devices, and you get a like bubble. I don't know if you guys are seeing that. By the way, make sure you are leaving us a like. All right. Well, then I guess it didn't come up. All right. Trying to get this quick so we can get Anthony in for a few more. Colorado, their last 10 games, 4-5-1. They lost to the lowly Chicago Blackhawks last night. Sorry, Blackhawks fans, but right now you are at the bottom of the league. And after last night, Devon Taves. There you go, Anthony. Actually said his name correctly. Called out his teammates. I think we got some guys who think they're playing well, and I think they're kidding themselves at this point. Anthony, Devon Taves is right to call out his Avs teammates.
I mean, these guys are professionals. They want to win more than anything else. You know, and he's right. When you're not playing well, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and own up to it. And I think that's essentially what Devon Taves was trying to reference, that guys have to acknowledge they have to be better. And it just shows that he wants to win and he's passionate about it. So, you know, I'll go around here. He didn't say like anything disparaging or go over the top, so I don't have any problem with what he said. He was frank about it, and he was frustrated they just lost the worst team in the league. So I don't see an issue with it. I'll go around here.
Phil?
I wonder about the timing because they're first in the league. And, I mean, coming from a guy who's really not pulling his own weight right now, I mean, this is a guy that had like a 60-point season. It looked like he was about to turn into a point-per-game defenseman. A guy that I had put like right in the top 10 of the league for my top defenseman when I did my list last season. I'm kind of like curious as to why now. I mean, I guess after this loss, but in their last five games, they're 3-2. I mean, I guess before that they had a stretch where they won only two games in seven. So including including a shootout loss to Arizona and an overtime loss to Arizona and a shootout loss to Anaheim. But I don't know. I got to go beer here because it's just kind of weird timing now that they're playing better. And it's coming from somebody who is not exactly playing well themselves. I wonder if he's talking about Alexander Georgiev, though. I really do.
Really? Wow.
That's what I wonder. Because if you look at Alexander Georgiev's numbers, they're not great. They're really not. He's got, I believe, a sub 900 save percentage. But if I saw that correctly, I could be wrong there. But he's not playing well. He really isn't. And he needs to be better. I would say Ivan Prozvedov has played better than him. Yeah, he's got an 896 save percentage and a 297 goals against. And Prozvedov has a 906 save percentage. Pretty good for a backup, and a 284 goals against. And again, just remember what I asked last week. We would take those numbers from Jonathan Quick when we signed him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty acceptable numbers for Ivan Prozvedov. Alexander Georgiev's numbers have been worse. So I really wonder if it's him that he's talking about. And Alexander Georgiev kind of has a history of being a little bit of a malcontent when things aren't going his way, as we've seen with the Rangers and the whole Tony DeAngelo incident. And he's got a temper to him. I mean, Tony DeAngelo is no saint either, but Alexander Georgiev, when Igor Shesterkin came in, Alexander Georgiev was not a happy camper. He really wasn't. So is it Ivan Prozvedov that's breathing down his neck because he's playing better? And this is where this is all stemming from? Because if you ask me, that's what I'm putting my money on.
I'm going to have to agree with you. And except I'm going to actually go above and say, I'm going to buy around because he's calling out a lot of guys. Do you know who the fifth leading scorer on the Colorado Avalanche is?
I could pull that up for you right now. It's actually Devon Taves himself, but
you're correct. It's Devon Taves himself. It's so got Taves, who's the sixth leading scorer. Anthony, you going to run?
Yeah, I got to go get Ella from dance.
All right. Anthony, take it easy. Thanks for coming on.
Take it easy. And Isles on TNT tonight. You can listen to Biz take shots at them. So he loves chirping Islander fans, Ranger fans. He's all about it.
So. There's a rumor that Biz loves to chirp. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ant. We'll see you guys soon.
Later, buddy.
Believe.
Believe.
I got to say, Phil.
Watching WWE talking about Bo Dallas? Oh, that's interesting.
But I think, for starters, I think Taves is talking about himself. 16 points, not really that great of numbers.
Could be.
But also, you look at the other guys that are in the room with him. Jonathan Drouin, Ryan Johansson. You mentioned Alexander Georgiev. I mean, they're not exactly known as, like, don't make me say it, everybody.
Drouin's got 13 points. Alexander Georgiev, we just talked about. Bowen Byram is playing like garbage. He's regressed
Big time.
I mean, even Ross Colton, 8 goals, 7 assists. You figured there'd be a little bit more out of him.
You didn't bring Ross Colton in to be a point per game player. I'm sorry you didn't.
Maybe like 20 points.
Actually, he's giving you numbers right along the lines of what he's given you previously. Yeah, that 21-22 season was great, but he shot at 13.8% that year. So I'm not gonna call out Ross Colton of all people when it comes to Colorado Avalanche and their problems. They signed Miles Wood to a big contract. He's got 6 goals and 11 points. He's a -4. Maybe that's somebody he could be talking about.
Well, they're a very top heavy team, Phil. And Devon Toews is trying to rally the troops right now.
Atrocious, though. 10 goals, but 2 assists, and he has 12 points total.
Phil, three teams that don't have any problems rallying the troops right now: the Pacific Division leaders, the Vegas Golden Knights, then you have the Vancouver Canucks at 46 points, and the LA Kings, who played less games than them, they're also at 40 points. The Pacific top three teams are set in stone for the year. Phil, I'll start this one off. Round. They're set in stone, just not the order. I'll put it to you that way. I do think LA is going to come back down to earth a little bit because Cam Talbot isn't going to have a 926 save percentage. Hell, he was 931 last week. There you go, guys. I mentioned Cam Talbot, and I didn't throw up. So, and Phoenix Copley isn't going to be the saver. They're still going to look for goaltending at the deadline, I think. And whether or not they still believe in Cam Talbot could take him all the way, I'm going to raise an eyebrow at that one. I didn't think that when he was 29. I don't think that at 36 for him. So there you go with that. Vegas, we know what they can do. They've already done it. Oh, they won a Stanley Cup with Aiden Hill, who's kind of battling some injury issues right now. And then you have the Canucks. Are the Canucks for real? I think they are. And we're starting to find out whether or not they are. I think they're 7-2-1 in the last 10. Phil, I'm going to, yeah, like I said, I'm buying around on that.
I want to say beer, but I'm leaning towards round here. And Seattle is as a team that I thought would get their act together and start coming around and playing better. But I mean, their leading scorer right now is Oliver Bjorkstrand, and he's having a nice breakout year for him points wise. I mean, we always knew about his shot and how he was a good goal scorer, but he's got 26 points in 33 games. That's pretty good. Vince Dunn looks like he's on pace to put up close to what he was doing last year. 62 points is actually on pace for. So right there, Eli Tolvanen looks like he's a good player now. He looks like he's kind of established himself. Jared McCann has fallen off big time. 14 goals. So he's not terribly far off from like the 40-goal pace he had last year, or the 40-goal season he had last year. He can get hot and get right back there. But Jaden Schwartz has been out. He's missed time. And Jaden Schwartz was playing well for them. Matty Beniers is having an awful sophomore slump. An awful sophomore slump. And Jordan Eberle, although he's missed time, he doesn't look like the same Jordan Eberle. So this Seattle team, for me, was going to be the team that I thought was going to turn it around. Joey DeCord's actually been pretty good. He's really kind of taken over the number one spot because Philip Grubauer has not been good for them. DeCord's got a 905 save percentage and a 265, which are good numbers for him, but they're not good enough to be a starter in this league. So, yeah, I think I don't see another team that can really step in there. There's a lot of time left, but Seattle's really got to have a massive turnaround in order for them to really make the playoffs at this point, because – those teams in the Pacific are not going to give up those spots, I don't think. I think LA's too good defensively. They're getting the goaltending, too, on top of that. I think that Vegas is just an absolute wagon. So good luck catching them. And Vancouver has really established themselves as a good team. I think they're going to be a team that takes a playoff spot, too. So I definitely think that
you're looking at the top three teams being from the Pacific, and I think that's set almost in stone.
Look, I got to say, what about the Edmonton Oilers? They're just, you know, they're going to rip off another eight-game winning streak.
Three games in a row.
Yeah, they're definitely going to do this. The Edmonton Oilers are just we got to talk about roster construction, everything else. Chris Knobloch has done a pretty good job since he got there, but come on, they're not doing it. These teams are set in stone. It's an obvious thing. So, and let's conclude with this one, Phil, because let's look back at Saturday night. David Pastrnak absolutely just crushes Ryan Lindgren and gets a boarding call. He got one of three majors called for boarding this season, upheld by video review. And there's been 55 minors. There's been nobody suspended. 58 boarding calls. But Phil, the NHL's got a boarding problem.
Yeah, I'm going to go around on this. I definitely think they definitely have a problem. They don't call these consistently. I understand that. And thank you, by the way, Devil's Joint. Appreciate that. I gave you a follow back on Twitter as well. So, but yeah, here's the layup. Definitely the layup right there. They don't know what they're doing with this stuff. They don't. And I understand that sometimes it comes down to a player turning at the last second and getting the players on the numbers. But some of these calls, guys are charging in.
Oh, yeah.
Charging in. Absolutely charging in, and they're not calling it. And like the Pastrnak one, you could see he absolutely sped up to charge him, even at a short distance. Pastrnak, what he was doing was predatory. Absolutely predatory. I didn't think they were going to suspend him because there was no injury. But if there was an injury, he definitely would have been suspended for what he did, because it's a predatory hit, and the NHL needs to take care of this before it gets out of hand. And they don't seem to be very good at, you know, taking care of these types of things. They have to get out of hand, and then they make the corrections afterwards. See goaltender interference. Hello, Dwight King.
And yes.
Some other issues over the years that they've dealt with, like the icing issue. They went to the basically the international icing rule after, you know, various injuries over the years, and they only did that a few years back. So yeah, definitely around here.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with around first. I'm going to say it's around, and then I'm going to just bring up, of course, one of my favorites, John Powers Irish Whiskey, because I'll buy one for everybody in the freaking chat right now. I mean, come on. They are not legislating this well. First off, for starters, do you know what's not called? A double minor for boarding. You can always go to a double minor. I know they were doing that before. I think it's either two waived off or a major. Three majors out of all of those. Now, one thing that I just don't understand about it, Phil, let's go with the Pastrnak one the other day. Mark Mathot said it was a routine puck retrieval. Yeah, right. Do you know what Pastrnak never did?
Drill for that one, buddy.
Yeah, you know what Pastrnak never did? Look at the puck. He didn't look at it after he decided to send Ryan Lindgren into the first row. I work with a guy named Matt Lindgren, so that's one reason why my brain short-circuited right there. But you got to stop this before it gets out of hand. And as you've said, Phil, the NHL is not going to do that. They're not smart enough to do that. Because if you took a guy who didn't hurt somebody and you suspended him two games for a hit like that, just two, it's at least enough for him to know, maybe I should let up on that. Pastrnak took a run. That isn't even close. And I've had the people already come at me on Twitter and on Instagram. Dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, it's a charge, never mind just boarding. And, you know, I want the game to be rough too, but every might can tell you, if you can read the letters, you don't hit them. That simple. But, you know, and of course, by the way, that would put them on the naughty list.
Yeah.
So there you go with that. Absolutely. Guys, thank you very much for joining us for Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, also known as Big Apple Hockey's Layup Talk, where we just have to, you know, sometimes you need layups in order to talk about soccer. It's just that simple. Oh, no. Oh no, what do we got? All right. Lob City.
That's me. I put that.
I know. I saw it wasn't me. I know that. All right. Let's get some Q&A in here. By the way, Hab Mercer, welcome to the show. And Miro with my Norris winner too. I think it was Miro. I think I had Miro over because I think I was Dallas Stars heavy. I think that's what I did.
I think I had Darlene. I'm not sure if I had Darlene or Fox, but I know I picked Darlene as a finalist. I'd have to go back and look at it. But, excuse me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys got some comments right here. Oh, yeah. Wow.
The layups are by design.
They are. Some of them by design. Like you get, like I said, you have to address the topic of it. Ooh, and also, now great. That it's such a – yeah, the World Juniors.
Yeah, the World Juniors. And the Rangers are sending two for Team USA in Mr. Gabriel Perreault and Drew Fortescue, who's from New York. I actually know somebody who played with Fortescue on the national developmental team, and they're friends. So congrats to Drew, hoping that Drew plays solid there. And the Rangers are definitely going to be looking forward to seeing him there because they think that he's going to be a good part of their future on defense. So, yeah, we definitely agree with you here, Devil's Joint. That's definitely something we're looking into. So we'll have more of an update on that once we come up with maybe some finalists or something. Yeah. Definitely something you're going to be looking for.
Or at least like a weekly spot that a Devils guy could come on, talk about them and promote their channel as well. We're still trying to make sure we get everything right on our end, to say the least.
Yeah, not only Fortescue and Perreault, but Celebrini is going to be someone that everyone's going to be watching because he's probably going to be the number one overall pick this year, having a hell of a year at BU. But I will say this. Gabriel Perreault is making a lot of scouts kick themselves right now with the season he's had. And the whole narrative of Gabriel Perreault as a passenger on that line has really kind of been gotten rid of. It's being dissipated as we speak because Gabriel Perreault looks like the best player on that line. I'll tell you that right now.
I still feel I understand. And you know I subscribe to the theory of if your father was a professional athlete, you know how to conduct yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just you get all these guys, oh, Gabriel Perreault. I mean, they're the same people that were.
Yeah, Evan, you damn right you say you're sorry, Evan. Damn right.
Yeah. Well, either way, we're going to be in Vegas for the draft this year. Whether we got the press passes or not, we're going to be there. But Perreault has done great.
Play the "We Will Be There" clip for that one.
It's going to be, you know, like he's looking really good, and I hope he keeps that up. And by the way, sometimes when you get a guy, Phil, that they're like, "Oh, he's just the passenger on that line. He's just the passenger." Well, define what the passenger is. Either you're the guy that is without the puck that's going to finish. Or like you're enabling the bigger guy.
To do the it. Guy that plays with the two better players, like Cody Hodgson in his draft year, was being helped along. Actually, him and former Ranger prospect Evgeny Grachev were being helped along by Matt Duchene.
Yes,
and that was the thing. You know, everybody was talking about how great Hodgson was because he was also a high draft pick, and Grachev came out of nowhere and had a real great year with Brampton playing with those two. But Grachev was really the passenger, and so was Hodgson, because Hodgson kind of fizzled out the NHL level. But people are saying that Perreault is a passenger in that sense because, oh, Smith is dynamic and Leonard is physical and he's dynamic. But you take away Gabriel Perreault from that line, you're taking away the smarts from that line. And Gabriel Perreault has looked like the best player on that line, whether it's at the NDTP. And I know that everybody looks at all sexy players like,
you know, Will Smith and his dynamic playmaking and his shooting and his hands and his skating. Yeah, that all looks great. But as we've seen with other players, especially some Ranger players, if you don't have the smarts to make it at that next level, those physical tools won't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, look at Chris Kreider. Chris Kreider had the physical tools. He had the hands. He had the size. He had the speed. But it took Chris Kreider a very long time to become the player that he is, because he didn't have the smarts to play the way that he's playing now. He had to develop those over time at the NHL level and figure himself out. Gabriel Perreault, I think, can be a guy that could come right in, and if he's insulated properly, can start producing right off the bat. As long as they take the time to develop him properly and not rush him along. So for anyone asking about Gabriel Perreault, we're not going to see him for a bit, and rightfully so, because I don't think the Rangers are going to make the same mistake that they've made with Kaapo Kakko, with Alexi Lafreniere, with Vitali Kravtsov, Elias Anderson, so on, and bring these guys up right away. There's no need to with Gabriel Perreault. They have the depth to not do it. And same thing goes for Brennan Hoffman. Yeah, you know what? I love this comment because Rangers development, yes, we've beaten this death horse over the last few years.
They're a contradiction.
I know you're an Islanders fan, State of Survival, but I will allow that one just because of the fact that it's absolutely true. No denying that there. But Brennan Hoffman's going to be another one where they're not going to rush him. If they feel that he's ready towards the end of the year and they feel like he can be the improvement from within and it helps the cap, then maybe we will see Brennan Hoffman. But they're not in any rush to bring him up. Arthur Staple and Vince Mercogliano have both confirmed this within the last week or so. So Hoffman, let Hoffman do his thing. We're not going to, we may see him by the end of the year, but Perreault, let him go play at the World Juniors. Let him go back to BC, tear it up again with his two boys, and let him just develop.
And Phil, one of the guys I was going to mention right here, David Woods got it. Ryan Gropp and Matt Barzal. It's just, you got the guy that sometimes you're like, which can they succeed on their own, or can they actually?
In Seattle, those two.
Yeah, are they codependent, or is he just getting all of his chances because of the other centers? Like that, the same thing was said about Ottman too, and Ottman looks like he's going to be able to play his way up. I think one thing about Kreider was, I think it's just that Kreider still wants to play a speed game even right now. Now they've got a way that they use his size, they move him around, and I think the thinking was they wanted him to play a little bit more towards Ryan Callahan with size at that time. Callie did all those things right to the front of the net, bleed for the team. That's not Kreider's game, but Kreider is still one of the best net front players in the league right now. And you know, he kind of was for a while. He just didn't get enough credit because you got the other guys, like, say, for instance, Anders Lee had a 40-goal season before Chris Kreider did. And Kreider, you know, they expected more out of him because of his 2012.
Back then, Wayne Simmonds was still a really good net front presence. Joe Pavelski has been regarded as one of the best net front presence over the last decade or so. You had other guys like Anders Lee, obviously, as well. But Kreider, from 2016-17 on, leads the NHL in deflected and tip-in goals. So, I mean, he's been the guy for over half a decade now.
And by the way, since he came into the league, if you want to even go to 2012, he's crushing everybody.
Oh, God, don't even tell me about Olof Lindbom. That was a terrible pick. There were so many good players available in that draft, and they went ahead and drafted Olof Lindbom, a goaltender that they did not need for any reason at that point. I was at that draft with Anthony, and I'll tell you right now, that pick absolutely boggled my mind, considering the players that were available at that point. You had Jack Drury you could have gotten. Ryan McLeod from Edmonton would be an absolute great middle six forward for this team right now. Scott Perunovich was a real good pick that went after him. Kirill Marchenko. Akil Thomas was someone that everyone was high on heading into that draft, but he hasn't done a whole lot. Sean Durzi ended up going to Toronto. He was in the Jake Muzzin deal, I believe. And then Kalen Addison. Kevin Ball has turned into a decent defenseman. David Gustafson you know, for Winnipeg. I mean, it just we're talking about players that were available, that were picked after, that have had decent careers. I don't know what you're laughing at, Mark.
I'm laughing because Maria's making dinner right now.
Oh,
okay.
Why is that funny? She is very quietly going around the apartment because she doesn't want to like disturb anything, and it's adorable.
Yeah, and Mark would never mess up Kreider's name just because of the fact that he loves him. He's the president of the Chris Kreider fan club.
But actually,
he was not off limits.
If you remember, Phil, I was the vice president of the Chris Kreider fan club because I couldn't make myself president. I didn't know if I was capable of doing that. I would have anointed myself there though. But it's crazy with Kreider, and I wrote about it this week with him. And I got to go back to what's one of the questions? Oh, State of Survival asked it, Phil. Will Chris Kreider retire as a New York Ranger? And unfortunately,
I don't think he's going anywhere.
But I don't think he's retiring as a Ranger. I don't think it's going to happen. Nobody gets to retire anymore with one team. Like, I was shocked when we were doing Puck Doku at one point, which we could always do one right now if we want to. But I was shocked when it was Paul Loss only played for Florida Panthers. He's a pretty good defenseman. They could, you know. Guys like that, you get moved out. I mean, everybody ends up finishing on a different team. Mike Modano played with the Detroit Red Wings. Brian Leetch finished with the Boston Bruins. I would not be surprised if Chris Kreider ends his career as a Boston Bruin. Absolutely would not be surprised. I do think he loves it, though. He loves it here. And if he's the new Rod Gilbert, both in the stats and of course, loving New York as much as he has, then I'm perfectly fine with that. He's a perfectly capable person, never mind a good player to take that mantle. Here's my question for you, Phil. Is Chris Kreider, or what will it take for him to be jersey retirement banner worthy?
I think he's probably going to have to be number two all time in goals for Ranger and probably win a cup. If he gets number one and he doesn't win a cup, I think he's getting a retired, but I think he's going to retire as a Ranger. I really do. I don't see him wanting to go anywhere else. His best friend is his line mate. I don't think he's going to want to go anywhere unless his production just starts to fall down and they deem to trade him towards the end of his deal. I mean, I don't see that coming though, because Chris Kreider's game it's not predicated on speed anymore like it was previously. Yeah. He's adapted a different type of game, and I think that's going to extend his career more. He's also a gym rat, so you know he's always going to be in really good shape. So that's not going to be a problem. And he's not a super physical player. For a guy his size, you would want him to throw the right weight around more, but that just may give him the ability to stay a little longer in the league because of the fact that he's not as physical and there's not as much wear and tear on his body. So, I think he is the only Ranger to appear in two cup finals. The only Ranger to appear in two cup finals as a New York Ranger post 67 expansion. He would become one because the Rangers have only been in three Stanley Cup finals post expansion, and nobody from the 79 team was on the 94 team, and nobody from the 94 team was on the 2014 team. So,
and I'm trying to think if anybody was, how many guys were from the 72 to the 79 team? Weren't a lot. If there were any.
John Radigan is saying Walt Tkachuk.
Walter Tkachuk would be one of the ones I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, he could be. Actually, he could be. If he was on the 72 team, then yeah.
But, Phil, here's another number that's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, he was on the 72 team.
Chris Kreider's got 40 playoff goals as a member of the New York Rangers, and of course in his career, since it's the only team he's ever played for. You know how many game winners he has? 11. Like a quarter of his goals scored won the game. And I know we're going to hear about Carey Price and stuff like that. And please, people, it's again, I say Dmitry Emelin tripped him. Sorry, he did.
Facts.
Every facts. Single time. Look at the stick whip, but we don't have to do that.
The stick flex is all you need to see.
Right. Carey Price never complains about it, so don't worry about that. However, you know, nobody can argue with what this guy has brought pretty much from day one. There's been ice water in his veins in the playoffs. His first career NHL goal was in game six facing elimination. It was a game winner. Two games later, he had his second career goal, and it was a game winner again. It's just what this guy does. It's that simple. And I think he's going to pass Rattel. I kind of hope he does pass Gilbert, though. So we'll see about that. All right, Phil. Let's see if we could take like another comment or more. And hell, have Mercer. Yeah, you know about it. I mean, after all, he enjoyed a lot of goal scoring against the Devils. He hasn't won a playoff series against the Devils, though. That's a different story. Stefan Rosner is saying that a Rangers have a scout at the Islanders Capitals game. You know, you're going to do your due diligence anyway. You're going to check out all the players that are there. I'd be shocked if there's ever a trade between them.
Maybe it's not the Islanders.
But yeah, but I mean, even the Capitals.
The Rangers and the Capitals have made trades before.
Yeah, they have. It's just, you know, you don't see as many in-division trades.
The Rangers and the Devils made the Grabner trade.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're being a little I wonder what they're seeing. I mean, looking at the Rangers schedule, I don't think that they're playing them again anytime soon. See here,
I got the Instagram open on my phone, so I don't know.
Oh, no, they're playing the Capitals on Wednesday, the 27th. So a week from today, they're actually playing the Capitals. So that could be part of it too.
They could also be scouting them for a strategy. That's another thing.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying. They're playing them in a week, so it definitely could be something that they're looking into. Which I mean, obviously, you would want to do that. But I mean, the Capitals are not exactly going to, you know, just trade everyone off right now because they're not that far off. They're really not. So,
by the way, Aaron Asham, he was mostly a free agent everywhere. John Radigan saying, "Isn't there the roster freeze coming up?" I think it already is in place. There was a great story that Brian Burke was telling on NHL Network that he did his personal roster freeze as a GM 10 days before any GM, just that way the players know they're not going anywhere through Christmas. And Sander Survival is asking, I don't remember an Islanders Pens trade. Darius Kasparaitis for Brian Smolinski. How about that one?
Yeah. Yeah. That's another one.
Yeah.
Evan suggested Joel Edmondson. I don't know.
Bill Guerin and Miroslav
Shatan. Yeah, Bill Guerin and Miroslav Shatan. Yeah, that's another one. But it's not exactly uncommon for teams in divisions to make trades, especially if it's a rental, because it's not something that's going to come back to bite them long term. Mm-hmm. A long-term trade, like a player with term, would be something that you may not see. You're not going to see Tom Wilson traded to the Rangers or Dylan Strome or something like that. Obviously, Alex Ovechkin's going nowhere, and I don't think anybody's going to trade for him right now the way that he's playing. But Evgeny Kuznetsov, The Rangers couldn't pull that deal off anyway. If they wanted, even if that was the guy that they were looking at, they couldn't do that. But maybe someone on defense. I don't know. Martin Ferravari is young, so I don't see them moving him. He's a restricted free agent. He's got 2 years after this one. So Rasmus Sandin, restricted free agent after this year again. I don't see him being moved. So I don't really know who the Rangers could be looking at.
Albeck Hubel, but I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe outside chance.
Yeah, I mean he's really the only one I could see, and they do need right wing depth, but I don't know how much of a difference maker he would be over someone like, you know, Brodzinski at this point. I mean, really, Albeck Hubel is a good player, a good like fourth line player, but Brodzinski's not too far off of him in points, despite playing in like a quarter of the games that Albeck Hubel has.
Mm. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this one. Oh, wait, what?
It's actually five less games. Sorry, I thought Brodzinski actually played less.
Well, we're going to start the bye-bye music and wrap this one up. Right now, we'll give like an extra minute or two. I have my cousin Phil playing. And
yeah,
listen, I got to agree with that. Until you have an answer on Philip Hedl, you don't know. One point I was making to guys today is think of how good the New York Rangers played right now. And think how good the fourth line is playing right now, Phil. And now think to yourself, they're going to get better because you have to upgrade third line center. Nick Bonino can't be your third line center. He's your fourth line center. He's really good. And, I mean, credit to everybody on that fourth line, Pitlick, Goudreau, and, of course, Jimmy Vesey have a great season. But, I mean, the Rangers are going to need a third-line center. I'm going to argue, Phil, that they're going to need it more than a right wing. And
yeah. The other
point that I kind of keep going to with a lot of people is the conversation of Kapokako. Got to get rid of Kapokako. Got to get rid of Kapokako. He's just a checking line winger. Well, what are you going to be looking for at the trade deadline? You're looking for a checking line winger with potential offensive upside. That's Kapokako right now. And I'm not going to view him as anything else. I would love it if that guy could break out, score 50 goals for the rest of the season with the Rangers. But he's not doing it, and he's probably not coming back till at least after the All-Star break. So the fact that he's coming back at all is
good. Well, here's another thing, and I've said this before. I said this last night, is that you can have Filip Hedl come back if you get a third-line center, and have Filip Hedl come back playing your first-line right wing with Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider. And that solves your right-wing problem right there. So let's just say they go get Sean Monahan or Adam Henrique or someone like that, Nick Bjugstad, whatever the case may be. Filip Hedl has shown that he can play wing. He's played well at wing. I think he could fit right in with that line. Yes, we're assuming chemistry, and you can't always assume chemistry, but Hedl has shown that he could play wing. Trade for McCann on the cheap? No. I don't think you can just trade for Jared McCann on the cheap. I don't think Seattle would, one, they would do that, and two, Jared McCann's making $5 million against the cap. And he's making it for another 3 years after this. So that's definitely not happening at that point.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting anybody on the cheap. Although Jordan Eberle is a very intriguing player, and the more
he's not
intriguing,
well, though. So if you're getting him real cheap as a change of scenery option, okay. But
I think he's a UFA at the end of the year.
Really excited about that.
There's a lot of good UFAs at the end of the year. San Jose's got 9 on their roster. And I'll throw another name out there. What about Kevin LeBanc?
I'm not really excited about Duclair. Everybody keeps bringing Duclair up. I'm
not thinking Duclair, but Kevin LeBanc would be somebody that can drive
another
a little
one. Bit. Not playing well. Duclair has 6 goals and 11 points in 28 games. And I know it's San Jose, so that's not going to jump out at you and impress you by any means. But, I mean, Duclair's defensive game is really a concern, and I don't know if that really translates come playoff time. Kevin LeBanc, 1 goal and 6 points all year. That's brutal.
Yeah. Well, you're playing on San Jose. You're not exactly the most motivated. Yeah,
he's been super, super bad on a bad team. Like, he's not even one of the best players on a bad team. He's, like, he's been dog shit.
Anthony, let's get a quick one out of you. We were trying to get off right now, but let's get a quick one out of you. What's one player you would target for the Islanders?
I mean, salary aside, Andre Kuzmenko. I don't think he's as bad as he's been this year. I think he's got too much skill to be playing the way he's playing. I think maybe with the change of scenery, new coach, I think that might help him out. But again, salary might be a little difficult. I heard you guys talking about Jordan Eberle. I mean, I think that's a guy that Lou could target and bring back an old face at the deadline, possibly.
That would be great for that locker room, because you know he wrote that song about it.
Yeah, so that's an option. Anthony Duclair, another one, should be relatively cheap. I mean, I guess, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen with Calgary, but I think they're going to be definitely going to be a little bit of a fire sale there. I mean, Tanev, Hanifin, Lindholm, I think all those three are going to probably be out the door. For the Islanders in particular, I think they could use some more help on D, although Mike Riley's been a revelation there. He's played really well, but maybe another defenseman there would be a need. So we'll see. You know, still a lot of time for teams to fall out and the parity in this league. And I was just kind of joking about not that long ago. The Sharks were 7 points out of a playoff spot when, you know, I'd said that however long ago that was time. So I think there are certain teams that are undecided right now. You know, they're holding out see where things go. I remember last year, the Islanders made the trade for Bo Horvat on January 30th. So Lou went, you know, kind of well ahead of the deadline. So he's not afraid to make a move pretty early. So we'll see what happens.
And hopefully all that, I mean, hopefully they wait for the trade deadline. You remember last year, me and Anthony were kind of just bored as all hell because all the trades already happened. We were promoting the hell out of that day. And it was just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, Horvat went real early. Timo Meier went before the deadline. I mean, all these guys were dealt before. So
Ryan O'Reilly, Vladimir Tarasenko, Patrick Kane, and everybody went.
Yeah.
It was driving us all crazy. But we got to thank the 36 of you that are still in the chat right now and in the stream. And thanks very much, everybody, for, again, another great year. I mean, we got holidays. They've either come for some people or they're coming up for others. It's going to be a great time. Make sure you spend time with your family and your friends, your loved ones, and just enjoy it. Because you never know how many of them you ever have. So always do that. I was going to sign us off. You guys want to keep going? It's all right.
I got to go.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to run. I have dinner coming up back here.
Yeah, I got dinner coming up right now, too. So, guys, thank you very much, and have a great night. And, of course, have a great holiday.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.